Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be exploring how to live longer, healthier lives. In doing this, we're going to take you on a journey. That's a journey of healing. We're going to talk about chicory and how it can treat neurodegenerative disorders. We have tens of millions of Americans suffering from that, plus people around the world. That's Northwest University. We're also going to talk about an antioxidant that protects the offspring where mothers may have fatty liver disease. That's University of Colorado. And there's new research on the wild bananas. These are the kind of things you can actually grow at home and why it's good for you as a functional food. And the first study to show that chair yoga, doing yoga using a chair, is as effective alternative treatment for osteoarthritis, Florida Atlantic University. And we're also going to talk about how antidepressant use increases your hip fracture risk. That's not good. That's the University of Eastern Finland. And there's an Ayurvedic extract that reduces knee pain. And there's a good study on that. I'll tell you about that particular herb. Plus today, it's commentary day. Chris Hedges, the real purpose of the U.S. government's report on alleged hacking by Russia from Truthdig, how think tanks generate endless wars, Todd Pierce from Consortium News, and from Michael Payne, a U.S. government hooked on and obsessed with war all the time, everywhere, nation of change. So we're going to be exploring those topics. I have my own insights today in a commentary that I wrote last night that I'll be sharing with you as well. Plus, we're going to have some audio clips today, including Glenn Greenwald talking about Bill Maher, Keith Olbermann, tribalism, and the resistance. I think you'll find this interesting. Then exposing the Clinton machine, how she used one example. It's a short piece, but for all of those who believe that Clinton deserved to be president, would have made a good president, how much homework did you do? We've done a lot. And so I'll share insights of why what she has already done, her and her husband, disqualifies them from being anywhere in the public arena. And then the neocons and the Clintons and the Obamas, they desperately wanted regime change in Syria. And a journalist and founding member of the Syrian Solidarity Movement, Rick Sterling, has written a brilliant article showing that the entire U.S. media coverage of Syria is to prepare our country for the idea of regime changes all over the Middle East. I'll also give you my opinion about who is really behind all of the regime change in the Middle East. And why can't we just leave these countries? Why can't we quit Iraq? Well, 93% of Iraqis see the United States as their enemy. But a look at recent history, you'll have to ask, can we blame them? So we're going to be sharing some insights. We're going to be sharing some input that the mainstream and alternative media generally does not share. Let's begin. We want to, first and foremost, get ourselves healthier. And there's a compound that has been researched. It was published in the FASEB journal. Scientists showed that chicory, C-H-I-C-O-R-Y, has an acid in it called chicoric acid, and it's a component of chicory, and it can help reduce memory impairment associated with Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's, ALS, Alzheimer's, dementia, memory loss. Quote from the study, done at the College of Food and Science and Engineering at Northwest A&F University. Chicoric acid, a nutraceutical component of chicory, also extensively exists in echinacea, dandelion, and other edible plants and vegetables. And it says that this chicoric acid mitigated lipopolysaccharide-induced amyloid degeneration and memory impairment via inhibiting an FNF and KB signaling pathway. So in lay language, what this study showed was if you have any form of memory impairment, brain problems, you should see about having chicory extract or chicory into your diet. University of Colorado found that there was a nutrient that can help protect the offspring of obese mothers, and an awful lot of women in the United States, their body weight is far beyond what is normal or healthy for pregnancy. And we have seen historically that when a mother is obese and has a child, or grossly overweight and has a child, frequently that child can end up suffering from fatty liver disease. In the new research published online in the FASEB journal, scientists show that the antioxidants PQQ may prevent the development of this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease in offspring. So that's important because as Americans, we have about 40 million Americans suffering from non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And it's the most common liver disease worldwide. And it affects approximately 35% of all obese children in the United States alone. And despite its growing prevalence, American medicine has no treatment for it, none whatsoever. But, quote, according to the study, our results suggest that supplementation with PQQ, particularly during pregnancy and lactation, might help slow the advanced epidemic. Well, I'll tell you something else that works, getting them off all sugars, especially high fructose corn syrup. Now, when you consider that today, the average toddler, adolescent, teenager, young person is drinking a lot of soda. And that is loaded with a lot of high fructose corn syrup, and that contributes to fatty liver disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So that's the best way. Most of the people listen to this audience, except newer people, know that I'm a farmer. Among the other things I have a passion for, it's growing a lot of my own food. And being a vegan, that's not difficult to do. In one recent year, I grew over 300 different varieties of fruits and vegetables, gourds and seeds and plants and herbs. And I show people and have for my entire life how to do this for themselves in their own backyard. In fact, back in the 1970s, from 1971 till 1983, I did this every weekend in the summer at the Fertiller Farm upstate in Stone Ridge, New York, where people come up and they'd learn farming and homesteading and how to make tofu and how to make grow edible flowers. And in any case, so I'm always looking for ways to try different things with nature. And I grow about 9 different types of bananas. And it's fun because you can have bananas that are green and you watch them ripen. It generally takes up to 2 months. But if you put them in cold storage, it could take 4 months. Therefore, they don't go bad. So as you need them, you cut them, you put them outside, and after a couple of days, they're ready to eat. They taste completely different than the bananas you're used to eating. Now there's some new research that has been conducted showing that the wild banana, and the only reason it's called wild is because it is not one of your typical genetically engineered or patented banana plants. And it's used all throughout Southeast Asia as a part of their traditional medicine. And this science showed that it's rich in antioxidants, anti-diabetic, immunomodulatory, hypolipidemic, anti-cancer, antimicrobial activities. Researchers from India wrote this in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology. So let's start growing our own bananas. You can do it. You can grow them in your own little green shed or greenhouse. And you don't want a banana tree to get large. And by the way, every year after the bananas have been harvested from these stems that come down, you simply cut the banana plant at about 3 to 4 foot high. It grows back. And all of that stuff you were taking out of the refrigerator went bad and everything you didn't eat at the end of a meal, you put it all in your compost pile and you put that around your plant. And then you put leaves over it or you put straw over it. And what happens is that creates a massive amount of bacteria that is good for the plant, minerals that are good for the plant, and you see these wonderfully healthy plants coming up. So no need to be throwing any of that compost away. Use it. And banana plants thrive when you fertilize them. And they're very hardy. Even if they get nipped by the cold weather, you just cut them back and they grow back. All the key is never cut banana plant leaves in the wintertime. Wait till the spring, then you cut off, because the dead leaves actually act as insulation for the rest of the plant. But there's no reason you couldn't put a greenhouse in your backyard. And depending upon the building codes, you can build, in some areas, you could build a greenhouse as high as 35 feet. So you could have an enormous amount of food growing in there, enough to not just feed you, but feed an entire block of people, have enough left over to earn about $50,000 a year selling at the farmers markets or co-ops or health food stores. I'll be doing more on that upcoming because I'm starting from scratch to build a greenhouse with some whole new designs I've come up with, and I'll be putting that free as a public service up on the web so you can do that for yourself. Then we have a study showing from Florida State University that chair, as in sitting in a chair, yoga. Now, this is for the millions of older adults who suffer from osteoarthritis in their lower extremities, like the hip, the knee, the ankle, the foot, and they can't get down and do regular yoga. But sitting in a chair, this study showed it provides an effective way to reduce pain and improve quality of life while avoiding the pharmaceutical drugs that otherwise people would be taking. And this was published in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. And then from the University of Eastern Finland, they looked at antidepressants. Now, because antidepressants are used so commonly, they wanted to see, what does it do? Well, here's what it does. Quote, antidepressant use nearly doubles the risk of hip fracture among community-dwelling persons. All right, and that's not good. So you don't want to be using these antidepressants. Talk therapy, yes. Herbal therapy, absolutely. Ayurvedic therapy, terrific. Drug therapy, not at all. And finally, from a clinical trial evaluating the effects of Boswellian herb, they found that it reduces knee pain in a large group of people. And we're talking about the gum resin of Boswellia, Bos, B-O-S, Wellia, W-E-L-L-I-A, Serrata, S-E-R-R-A-T-A. What's in it? Well, there's an acid. It's called boswellic acids. And they are extremely beneficial in this double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized trial in Japanese adults. And by the way, the Boswellia serrata is a tall tree and native to India and parts of Pakistan, and its extracts are widely used in Ayurvedic medicine. And this was published in the European Journal of Biomedical and Pharmaceutical Sciences. So, if you are a person suffering from knee pain and you want some relief, this will do it, according to this study. Quote from the study, in recent years, the population of aging and elderly in Japan has seen a steady increase. Among them, several suffer from knee pain, lumbar pain, shoulder pain. The effective relief of knee pain may help and improve the quality of life and of elderly people because it enables increased physical activity. In this trial, we investigated the extract Boswellia serrata as a treatment to relieve knee pain. And then he goes on to talk about how successful it was. It worked. And by the way, University of British Columbia, pumping iron, doing resistance exercise is good for your heart and improves type 2 diabetes outcome, lessening complications. So if you have type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetic, then get into the gym and do that heart workout. And by the way, binge drinking can cause binge eating, according to the Nature Communications. This is a new study where they saw that people who drink a lot overeat a lot too, both from the same. If you have Parkinson's disease, University of Leicester, take vitamin B3. You can benefit. Individuals with Parkinson's disease can gain an increase in health with B3. So that's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Noll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now.
From all over the world, people are listening, and you're listening either live Monday to Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time over your radio through all the different syndicated stations carrying this program, or over the internet if you listen through where we originated at Progressive Radio Network, our sister station for 40 years, the great, current, and still alive WBAI, and we're happy about that. And of course, people can listen by telephone. If they should be out and about and they don't have access to a radio or internet, listening live by any portable listening device is easy. Let me give you a number. Please write this down. So any day, Monday through Friday, you can call this number and listen live. 605-562-5119. 605-562-5119. But let's see, you can't. You're working. We found that 98% of all the people listening to this radio show listen to it at night on the archives. If you're at home, turn on your computer, fine. But what if you're not? You still want to hear it? You can download any program by the archives by your cell phone. Let me give you that number. 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. Now, recently, Michael Moore, who's done some very good work, and Michael's a friend of mine, just said hello just 2 weeks ago before I went on the road. Yesterday I was filming in Virginia, and tomorrow it'll be out in the West Coast, finishing up two very important films, one on vaccines, and we were filming yesterday on vaccines, and I'm filming experts in the field of immunology and toxicology specifically. And I'm asking a basic question. Can you show me a single study in the scientific literature ever that proves that every single ingredient in a vaccine is safe? And then can you show me any studies that all the ingredients from all the vaccines taken at the same time are safe? Not one can show that. Can you show me that they are toxic? And every single one shows toxicity. So I asked one of the people yesterday, as a physician, if someone walked into your office and says, "Doctor, I'd like you to inject me with 24 micrograms of mercury, methylmercury, would you do it?" And he said, "If I did that, I'd lose my license practice, but that would be malpractice. But if someone came in and said, I'd like a flu vaccine that had 24 micrograms of mercury, you would have no problem giving it to them." I said, "Could you explain the contradiction?" And he could not. I think you'll find this new documentary important when it's done. It'll be done very shortly. But some news came out today, and I'm going to share a post by Eileen Daneman, who keeps us in the know on what's happening, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is one of the top critics of mercury in vaccines, though he's pro-vaccine, was asked by Donald Trump to chair a vaccine safety commission. But that was the good news. It's all over the internet. You celebrated too soon, because immediately upon that announcement, there was blowback. And that blowback came from the medical and pharmaceutical establishment, their lobbyists, hitting all the legislators who've received money from the vaccine and pharmaceutical industry, saying, this is not a good thing, don't allow it. And then last night, I did not see it, but I was told, and if what I was told was accurate, that on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow called Robert Kennedy Jr. a conspiracy theorist because of his positions. What I would suggest for Ms. Maddow, since she's been wrong on so many issues, is to do it properly, shouldn't you invite Robert Kennedy on your program and allow him, uninterrupted, to share the research he has accumulated on the dangers of mercury? And then, if you wish to say that the information is conspiratorial, it has no basis in fact, you can do so. But at least before you attack someone, and by extension their integrity, in effect trying to marginalize them, a form of what my personal feelings are character assassination, and it's been done for so long, but it's not surprising. This is what's done on many of the media, not the least of which is Anderson Cooper on CNN, and also everyone, and I mean everyone, on MSNBC. So what we have done is the following. Today, we have posted three multi-award-winning documentaries, the newest being The Silent Epidemic. And there's no politics in it. There's no ideology. It's simply asking physicians and scientists who have no reference, they're all pro-vaccine, to tell us about the safety and efficacy of vaccines, and they can't. But you'll hear them trying to grapple with the idea of how are you giving something that in your own field is toxic to a baby that doesn't even have a developed immune system and suggest that it's toxic everywhere in the scientific literature in every single study done, but somehow it's not supposed to be toxic when it goes into a baby's body. It is mind-numbing to see this. But these documentaries are there as a public service, free of charge, for you to watch today. Autism Made in USA, Vaccination and Silent Epidemic. Additionally, as I have spent more than 15,000 hours of scientific research on the subject of vaccines, as well as other of our scholars and residents, Richard, Jeremy, and Doug, we have compiled our own original in-depth investigative reports on vaccines. Over 41 different studies we have written. They are all posted, all fully referenced. Any scholar can go through them. You will not find flaws in them. So it's time that the public became aware that you cannot automatically trust, without due diligence, the comments of non-scientists, but rather ideologists like Rachel Maddow or an Anderson Cooper on these topics. The public health, your child's health, your health is at risk if you do so. So go to progressiveradionetwork.com or GaryNall.com or my Facebook, and all this is posted there today. And then we should contact our legislators, or even contact Robert Kennedy and tell him that you would like to see him on the president's heading the President's Vaccine Evaluation Committee, because at least someone who has done their homework, knows the truth, will be there as a public advocate. And that's important. Separately, when we see the government lying, and we see the apostles of that government lying policy in the media, and they keep spreading the lies, the question is why? They had the resources to know the truth, and individually I'm sure they do know the truth. then why would they tell us anything but the truth? Why is it we can only get the truth outside of the official or orthodox areas of communication? I cannot rely upon the truth from CNN or NBC or ABC or Fox or even Pacifica, many of the programs, not all, but many, because I know the biases. Some thoughts, for example, on the Russian influence campaign targeting what's going on now. The primary purpose of the declassified report, which offers no evidence to support its assertions that Russia hacked the U.S. presidential election campaign, is simply to discredit Donald Trump. Now, I'm not saying there was no Russian hack of John Podesta's emails. My personal belief is this, from what I have seen, and I have watched numerous interviews with Julian Assange, I believe that he has way too much to lose, because the only thing that keeps him in a position of influence is trust. He has had 10 million documents released. He has never had to retract as inaccurate a single document. When you're right 10 million times in a row, that says something. So when he says to the public, and he said it repeatedly to Sean Hannity, the Russians did not give us any of this information. It was not hacked information. And others have supported, including Ray McGovern, that this is someone inside the DNC who saw the corruption inside the organization and how they were undermining Bernie Sanders' opportunity to be the people's choice, because Bernie Sanders was beating Hillary Clinton across the board. And yet the media wasn't covering it. And I'm sure many of you, like myself, would see 30,000 people at a Bernie Sanders rally and 300 people at a Hillary Clinton rally. And yet the media was telling us that she was succeeding, and she wasn't. And so someone did what, you know, Snowden did. They simply put all the documents they could on a thumb drive and turned it over. In this case, Snowden turned it over to Glenn Greenwald, who we're going to hear in a few moments. In this case, they turned it over to an intermediary who was a former ambassador to London who's gone on the record. He himself said, I received all of the information from the DNC and the Podesta files and the Clinton files. I received them. And I can tell you, it did not come from hacked Russian anything. Now, I'm not giving the Russians a clean bill of health on anything. I'm simply saying that this is a tortured PR campaign. But they're succeeding because some people now are confused. And to help educate us about why we shouldn't be confused and what the truth is, we have to turn to someone that I trust and respect. That's Chris Hedges. Why? Because as an award-winning journalist, he knows where to go for the truth. And in this case, he's looking at a different perspective. The charge, Senator John McCain has likened the alleged effort by Russia to act to an act of war. Now think of that for a moment. McCain is saying that the Russians hacking the DNC and Podesta files is an act of war. That is, to me, irresponsible. But according to Chris Hedges, quote, this is the first salvo in what will be a relentless campaign by the Republican and Democratic establishment, along with its corporatist allies and the mass media, to destroy the credibility of the president-elect and prepare the way for impeachment. So the allegations in the report, amplified in breathtaking pronouncements by a compliant corporate media that operates in a not fact-based universe, every bit as pernicious as that inhabited by Trump, are designed to make Trump look like Vladimir Putin's useful idiot. An orchestrated and sustained campaign of innuendo and character assassination will be directed against Trump. And when impeachment is finally proposed, Trump will have little public support and few allies, and will become a figure of open ridicule in the corporate media. Now, the second task of the report is to bolster the McCarthyist smear campaign against independent media, including the ones I read and report from, Truth Dig as witting or unwitting agents of the Russian government. The demise of the English programming of Al Jazeera and Telsur, along with the collapse of the nation's public broadcasting, designed to give a voice to those not beholden to corporate or party interest, leaves RT as the only electronic outlet with a national reach that are willing to give a platform to critics of corporate power and imperialism, such as Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, Chelsea Manning and Ralph Nader, Media Benjamin and Cornel West, and others. 7 pages of the report were dedicated to RT America. And that's where Chris Hedges has his program On Contact. The report vastly inflated the cable network's reach and influence. It also included a few glaring errors, including the statement that, quote, RT introduced 2 new shows, Breaking the Set on September 4th and Truth Seeker on November 2nd, both overwhelmingly focused on criticism of the U.S. and Western governments, as well as the promotion of radical discontent, end quote. Well, Abby Martin, who you've heard on this program, I interviewed her recently, was taken off the air 2 years ago. You haven't seen her in 2 years on RT. So that's how it works. The barely contained rage of the director of the National Intelligence Agency, James Clapper, at the recent Senate Armed Services Committee hearing on foreign cyber threats was visible when he spat out that RT was, quote, promoting a particular point of view, disparaging our system, our alleged hypocrisy about human rights, etc. His anger was a glimpse into how the establishment sees with hatred for dissidents. Let us be very clear. Let us go on the record in an and completely qualified manner. Clapper is a liar. He should be in prison. He lied under oath. He perjured himself in March of 2013, when 3 months before the revelations of wholesale state surveillance leaked by Snowden, he assured Congress that the National Security Agency was not collecting, quote, any type of data on the American public. After the National Security Agency was called out, and he wanted all this to go away, but it wouldn't. Yet has he been challenged legally for perjury? No. Instead, he's calling for censorship. And who does he want to censor? He wants to censor any organization, any website, any individuals, a group of individuals that are critical of this or any past administration. The third task of the report is to justify the expansion of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization beyond Germany, NATO. A violation of the promise Ronald Reagan made to the Soviet Union's Mikhail Gorbachev after the fall of the Berlin Wall. You see, expanding NATO and Eastern Europe opened up an arms market for the war industry. It made those business billions of dollars. New NATO members must buy Western arms that can be integrated into the NATO arsenal. These sales, which are bleeding the strained budgets of countries like Poland, are predicated on potential hostilities with Russia. Do you actually see Russia arming and posturing and preparing to invade anyone? No. China? No. But NATO? Yes. So if Russia is not a threat, arms sales plummet. Remember what Smedley Butler said, the most decorated Marine in history. War is a racket. And finally, the final task of the report is to give the Democratic Party plausible cover for the catastrophic election defeat it suffered. Clinton initially blamed the FBI director, James Comey, for her loss before switching to the more easily demonized Putin. The charge of Russian interference essentially boils down to an absurd premise that perhaps hundreds of thousands of Clinton supporters suddenly decided to switch their votes to Trump when they read the leaked emails of Podesta. Either that or they turned into RTV America and decided to vote for the Green Party. Hello, the Green Party, where Jill Stein had the most publicity of any Green Party candidate, including Ralph Nader, in the history of the party, only gained 1% of the votes, 1 million votes. So the Green Party should have a reckoning, a come-to-Jesus moment, and change the way they are operating and change the way they present their messages, change the way the messages are right, by the way. They're on the right side, but they're making the wrong presentations. And if they do so and work with other coalitions, then I think they'll have a great deal of success and influence in the future. Doing more of the same is not going to get you a different outcome. The Democratic Party, the corporate liberal establishment, and all of its leadership cannot face and certainly cannot publicly admit that its callous betrayal, the working and middle class, triggered a nationwide revolt that resulted in the election of Trump. It has been pounded since President Barack Obama took office, losing 68 seats in the House, 12 seats in the Senate, 10 governorships. It lost more than 1,000 elected positions between 2008 and 2012 nationwide. And since 2010, Republicans have replaced 900 Democratic state legislators. If this was a real party, the entire leadership would be fired, excoriated, and sent away. But it's not a real party. The Democrats haven't had a real party since FDR. It is a shell of the party propped up by corporate money and hyperventilating media. The Democratic Party must maintain the fiction of liberalism, just as the Republican Party must maintain the fiction of conservatism. These two pariah parties belong to one party, the corporate party. They will work in concert, as seen by the alliance between Republican leaders such as the dementia-ridden McCain, because no one with a right mind would show up and support terrorists as he did. But that is a different story. And the Democratic leadership, such as Senator Chuck Schumer, working together to get rid of Trump and silence all dissent, enrich the war machine industry, and promote the farce they call democracy. So how does this come about? As I mentioned just on the last program, in my personal opinion, the finest actress with the greatest range of expressions and taking on the persona of Margaret Heckler in that wonderful presentation and deserving all of the awards she has received. She denounced Trump in an award ceremony. I don't have a problem with that. Anyone who wants to denounce any of these public leaders, that's your right. I do not take issue with that. And I will not, because I do believe in decorum and I do believe in manners and decency. I have no issue with Merrill Trump or Michael Moore, for that matter. My issue, which I share with them as a concern, with the hope that they will, at least if it's given to them, review the construct, is their unbridled, excessive support of Hillary Clinton. It is not with their anger towards Trump. And what I will suggest is this, to the entire liberal community, to the entire Democratic community, please think before you react, because you're against Trump for what he may and possibly do. Why do you have any less concern of what the Clintons and Obamas actually have done? And what am I talking about? Let's be specific. On racial issues, many things that come to mind is this. The Clintons took advantage of what they call the African-American card. How did they do this? They embraced the Ronald Reagan agenda once in office that harmed the black communities far more than it benefited them. So how do you go to a black community anywhere that you would never other visit, you have no business in, you want nothing to do with, and say to the people in that community, I'm for you, I'm your advocate. If you vote me into office, I will be looking after your interest. And one of the older people in the crowd says, I believed you. You called yourself the new Democrats. And I thought, great. Then you took away welfare that we needed because we had been severely hampered by factories in this community of Camden, New Jersey. Both the Campbell Soup Company, the RCA Company, and the shipping companies moving. And we weren't considered in the move. We were left to struggle for ourselves. And then when you have gross poverty anywhere, you're going to have derelictions in individuals trying to survive. Drugs become a part of that. So you increase the severity of incarcerations for victimless crimes, and the largest increase in the prison population in world history, occurred under Bill and Hillary Clinton's tag team regime. You also gutted the provisions for food stamps and helping with subsidized rents. And so a lot of us then ended up on the streets. When you passed the NAFTA, you told us we'd have more work. Instead, we found that over 1 million jobs were lost. And then you looked at our children and said they have to be brought to heel, as if they were a wild animal. You never once, neither you nor Bill Clinton, ever once visited any of the communities that you personally were responsible for bringing pain and suffering to, until it came time to get the black vote. When your husband was caught with his pants down, which was about every other day in the White House, and had to go to a black Baptist church and ask for forgiveness, and all was well. But otherwise, no. Under Clinton, you increased federal prison inmates. You created the three strikes rule. Clinton has the highest incarceration rate in the world, up to 90% of drug offenders being black. You created the welfare reform that doubled poverty. 1.5 million poor, mainly blacks, ended up suffering. Public housing decreased by 61%, yet you increased prisons by 171%. You eliminated all the Pell Grants to prisoners and lifetime ban on welfare and food stamps for anyone convicted of a felony drug offense. So you took poor people from a neighborhood who were caught smoking marijuana or possessing marijuana, and you put them in jail for 7 years or in New York longer. Then when they got out of jail and they were poor already, which was one of the reasons they were using marijuana, and then you took away the right to food stamps and public housing and Pell Grants. That was you, Hillary, and you, Bill. You expanded the war on drugs. You increase the number of crimes that would get you the death penalty by 60. You made more people susceptible to the death penalty than any other president in American history. And yet you continue to support, under Obama, the further degradation of poor communities and ghettos. Baltimore, Camden, Detroit, Appalachia. You also, under Obama, and receiving finance yourself directly, you increase the privatization of prisons. But that's just from one crowd, I would suggest, a response. Let us look at social rights issues worthy of protest, related to the racial issue, but for all middle class and lower Americans. Under you, Hillary, and your goofball husband, Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Act. It's identical to Gingrich's contract with America, where you scrap the aid to welfare families. So today, I don't believe your daughter or your husband or you or Podesta or any of the 200,000 contractors and consultants and specialists in the arms industry in Washington ever have visited the homeless children. There are 2.4 million homeless children, the 16.8 million hungry children, the 50 million children living way below the poverty line, the 100 million families and living at the poverty line. I don't believe you visited a single one unless you want their vote. The radical regressive redefining President Johnson's Head Start program, which was actually quite good under Johnson, yet was perverted under you, that set minimal educational standards based upon testing. So when you, Hillary, and Bill, and I, all the same, about the same age, separated only about a year, when we were going to school, we all went to a public school, unless you were Catholic. That was it. We got quality educations. We learned how to do critical thinking. We had an understanding of the world and civics and geology and geography and culture. And we were able to go out and we were able to apply those things as we saw fit. We were prepared. Our teachers knew what we needed to know. We're there with patience. And if we acted out in class, we were reprimanded. We were punished. And that's when you were punished in school. When you got home, your mom and dad were waiting for you to make sure you didn't do it again. And we learned. We actually had manners. We had civility. We had a decorum. We had respect for elders. No one that I knew grew up writing music that would denigrate women. After all men that I've ever met have always loved their mothers. There's a special place in our heart because we are connected by our souls to these unique and wonderful and beautiful creatures that gave us birth, that gave us our life, that tried to direct us as best they could. Whether we fought that as we grew up or appreciated it is individual experience. But when someone writes a song, and in that song they denigrate as whores or bitches or other derogatory misogynist terms, do we forget that our mother was once a young girl, a teenager, a vital woman? Because then that means when you write against one woman, you're writing against all women. And isn't it time as a society, Hillary and Bill and Obama, that you think maybe you should be more conscientious of the people who may be famous and the rappers that you invite to your inaugurations, to your parties in the White House, and just stop and take a look at the lyrics and what they mean? And if that was being said about your daughter, your sister, your girlfriend, your mother, your aunt, your grandmother, would that make you feel good about those people and about that person, or would it cause you to wince and be embarrassed? Isn't it time we took racism, misogyny, and disrespect for women out of all our dialogue and give all women of all races the love and kindness that these sacred beings deserve? Now, that's just me, Hillary. Oh, I forgot, your husband had 3,000 different sexual partners before he was attorney general. His former lover, who was a lover for 20 years, told me that personally, as well as how much drugs they use. But then again, why should I tell you how a drug person should go to jail, then all the past three presidents should be spending the rest of their life in jail? Unless we're hypocritical and believe that one person is immune from that and everyone else is susceptible. And if you're a person of color, you're extremely susceptible. The hypocrisy is palpable. Also, today, you have supported privatization of schools. Some of your leading campaign people, some of your leading insiders in the Obama administration are people that promote the charter schools that have been shown to be, by and large, with some exceptions, failures. It is a public money going to private for-profit organizations. And they don't learn critical thinking. They learn how to take tests that prepare them for nothing. But it's profitable. Clinton's America School Act, one size fits all models of education, but it doesn't. Now, under Obama, the most rapid privatization of schools in history, you supported it. Common Core, further dumbing down students. The failure to stop all home foreclosures. When we think of we the people, and we think of our neighbors, we think of our neighborhoods, there was a time when I grew up both in the country and in the town, a little place on Covert Street, a little tiny house, about 1,000 square feet. Three of us slept in one bed, Howard, Steve, and myself. But we didn't mind because we had joy and we had happiness. And we just had a sense that our family counted, but our neighborhood counted it. And I can assure you, if anyone came onto that street to cause a problem, to disrupt, to vandalize, everyone on that block would have been out there stopping it because we cared about each other. So what happened, Hillary? Bill? You're both worth now over close to $200 million. You're in the 1% to 1%, 1/10 of 1% in wealth and power. And the people you associate with exclusively are in that same percentage. What happened to the 28 million Americans who lost their homes? What happened to the Justice Department that you could have influenced under Obama that didn't put one single one of those bankers that caused these problems into jail? What happened to the liberal community that tolerated not a nickel going to small businesses that employ more people than anyone else, that have the greatest amount of taxes, the greatest amount of pressure, the greatest amount of work, and yet they're the backbone of the American economy? What happened when you didn't help them? You turned your back on the homeowners, the senior citizens, and you gave $21 trillion in unsecured money at zero interest to the corporations that caused the problems. And none of those, at Goldman Sachs, at J.P. Morgan, at Citigroup, none of them were held accountable. And what happened, Hillary, when the liberal community and the liberal establishment allowed Wells Fargo and other banks paying a total of $300 billion cumulatively for laundering drug money, but nobody went to jail, no one's reputation was tarnished? For price fixing, fixing the LIBOR, fixing the price of precious metal like gold and silver, trading with the enemy. Trading with the enemy is illegal. And yet you personally in the liberal community traded over $100 billion in arms with Saudi Arabia alone that then you know from your own emails was turned around and used in the war in Yemen, the poorest nation, which is at the sub-end of Saudi Arabia. And you knew from your own emails that we got from Julian Assange that Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates were all supporting, supplying guns to, weapons, training, and protection, the terrorist, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, ISIS. And yet, nothing. That's under you. The greatest increase in terrorist activity, and you help support it. Why aren't you held accountable? In Honduras, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Libya, in Ukraine, you were responsible for coups and undermining their countries, the sovereignty of their countries. The creation of the AFRICOM for U.S. militarization of Africa, the mishandling of the Arab Spring, you and the liberal community supported the dictators, your administrations did, but not the students in the street willing to risk their lives. So here's a question. When was the last time that Michelle and Barack Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton, George Bush and his wife, and his wife, George Bush's wife, I think, is a terrific human being and did a good service to the country, not him, but her. when was the last time any of you and your friends and the military contractors and the directors of Halliburton and the officers and of all these major corporations, when was the last time you all or any of you went to any demonstration where you risked arrest by acting in a civil disobedient way against injustice? Can you name me a time? So how then can you preach some moral high ground that you're going to take on our battles when you have never taken on a battle ever where you risked anything? Others fight your battles for you, and you send uneducated and frequently completely misdirected people off to fight in wars that had nothing to do with the security of our country. And the entire liberal community is smart enough to know that. It's about resources, regime change, and privatization, and raping of assets, all at the cost of the indigenous groups of people. Your groups, since 1945, have caused 20 million people in the world to die. And you and your husband's efforts to balkanize Yugoslavia worked, but later the person that you were demonizing, calling a new Hitler, was completely exonerated at The Hague, at the International Criminal Trials trial. And why wasn't his innocence, after he died in prison from heart disease that was not allowed to be treated, why wasn't that ever in the New York Times? That war was the wrong war, but you left depleted uranium and thousands of people dead and criminals in power. And finally, your support of the drone wars and the executive privilege to assassinate American citizens and not caring about the veterans and their traumatic stress disorders and their other diseases. And how about you surpassing Bush and Reagan in defense spending and the National Defense Authorization Act and the perpetuation of the Patriot Act and the creation of widespread surveillance apparatus to spy on every citizen and increase the national security as warrantless spying, and the wing of the big IT and tech firms as spy agencies, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and the rapid militarization of law enforcement, the greatest in American history, and your support of NAFTA and CAFTA, and the founding of the World Trade Organization. That was you, Hillary and Bill. And you supported the TPP and the TTIP under Obama. The White House is a citadel of secrecy, more information classified than any other White House in history. And your State Department, more classified State Department than anyone else in history. And your disdain, your hatred, your vitriol towards whistleblowers, even worse than Obama. Your support for GMOs and your demeanment of the environment by supporting gas drilling, gas hydrofracking, big oil, nuclear. Private corporate access to public lands under you, hydrofracking boom under you and Obama, the attempt to start a new nuclear energy renaissance under you and Obama, the complete ignorance of getting off fossil fuels and investing more in renewables under you and Obama. So here is my question to Meryl Streep and Michael Moore and the others who believe that they are righteous in their cause. Friends, look at what they've done to the world, to groups, to populations, to the environment. This is not speculative. This is not hypotheses. They've actually committed these crimes against humanity. So if you are such an advocate of them, if you're so determined to believe that they should be in power, do you also take any measure of responsibility for what they have done? Because by supporting them, to give them another shot at power is meaning that you are accepting all these other crimes against humanity. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.
Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry. I won't cry. No, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand by me. And darling,